Honestly, the basic thing was find you your person. Find that one person, not a million people. I found one person that was like, oh my God, that's how I want to talk. That's how I want to. And I started studying the person, how they talk, how they dress, how they walk, what books they were reading, whatever. And I was like, well, whatever I can do that will get me closer to the way in which I want to pattern my life, I was willing to do whatever it took.
Are you ready to uncover your highest purpose, passion, and potential in life? Then you should know the keys to achieving your heart's desires are already in you. Do you have a dream to get in better shape, heal relationships, or even create true financial freedom? Whatever it is, understand that the keys to achieving your heart's desires are already in you. If you're ready to unlock your greatest potential, erase limiting beliefs, and be guided on the journey of creating your dream life, then you're in the right place. This is The Higher Self with your host, Danny Morrell.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Higher Self. This week, I introduce you to my good friend, Garen Jones. Garen, say hello.
Brother, hey, I'm excited to be on here. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. But every time we have conversation, it's always like this beautiful chaos of creation and like good energy. So I'm excited for today. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, man. And you know, it's really awesome because you and I met here in Austin. We both moved here from California and we've become friends. We're getting to know each other. And I'm excited. I'm excited about this conversation. I'm going to tell you why. You know, my mission in life is to help people awaken their highest self, you know, and when you really look at what that means, that means all aspects of them, because true spirituality is discovering yourself, right?
Yeah.
And when you're able to discover yourself, you're able to see that there truly are no limitations in your physical life, in your relationship life, and in this case, in your financial life, right? And I want to do this. And what excited me the most about this show and the potential of you and I doing this is that in the matrix, in the system, you and I are both minorities, right? We're this, right? You're African American, I'm Hispanic. And yet we are financially free. Yeah, we do very well. And as I post what I post on social media, I understand that people are at where they're at in their journey. And yet it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because they have bought into this ideology that either money is the root of all evil, or that the cards are stacked against them, or that the man is, you know, and the billionaires are trying to hold them back, or whatever, quite honestly, whatever lie it is that they have believed that keeps them locked into that paradigm that they're in and doesn't allow them to see past that. And that's the conversation I want to have with you is, how did two guys, you know, you and I, quote unquote, minorities, how did this happen for us? And most importantly, how can it happen for other people? So you up for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you bring this conversation, because one of the biggest lies I was always told is money doesn't grow on trees. But if you dig deep enough, paper comes from bark. They create money from the bark, from the paper that is created from the bark. So technically, money is actually a tree. So that just already dispels the lie. You know, I come from an environment where my mom used to always say, well, we can't afford it. We don't have no money. We can't afford it. And I'll tell you the greatest thing my mom ever said to me when I asked for a $150 pair of Jordans, she said, when you can make your own money, you can buy whatever you want. As a 7-year-old. So imagine, I was like, man, okay, lemonade stand, going door to door, washing cars. And I didn't know that was my young version of entrepreneurship, because I never heard anybody talk about that when I was a little kid. All I know is whenever I can make my own money, I can buy whatever I want. So that was that, selling baseball cards, basketball cards, football cards. I would break into the city recreation center, stealing candy, and then selling it the next day to buy the patent leather baby blue Jordan.
I used to steal candy and sell it too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was the greatest gift that my mom unconsciously gave to me, was figure it out. And so though I grew up without any money, I like subconsciously had this skill, always finding a way to get whatever I wanted, whether it was breaking into the house, getting the girl, stealing the car. I just would always find a way. I just didn't know where to channel that energy. And energy can't be created nor destroyed. It can only be transferred. So once I was surrounded by a community of people that could see things in me that I couldn't see in myself, then, because you can't see the picture while you're in the frame, then I understood which direction at least to put that energy by way of community, by way of culture, by way of learning, by way of mentors, by way of investing in retreats. And I had a really hard life only because I never knew where to put all of this energy. And so one of the biggest things that I learned was whatever kind of lifestyle I wanted, to pursue people who lived that lifestyle in a way that made me feel like I was in ninth grade. And I'll explain. Remember, you go to ninth grade, you're at the bottom of the class, and there's bigger kids in school. You're like, dang, all right. But then eventually you start passing tests, you start getting to the next grade, and then eventually you're the head of the class. Every group that I'm in, I typically outgrow my group. So when I moved to Austin, I was like, yo, I need to be surrounded by some people that make me feel like I'm in first grade and they're in high school, because you can't be what you can't see. So I tend to pattern myself and mirror success around the people that I'm constantly listening to and watching. So I got really good at immersing myself in new cultures where I'm learning new languages, new ways of being, how to treat people. And this is a pattern that was for me. And I used to do it for harm, breaking into cars. That was because I was immersed into those bad kids at the time doing what they did. So how I did it was I found a community that lived the life that I wanted. And I eventually started embodying certain things from one person to the next, to the point where I'm like, oh my God, I'm in that same space where I used to be inspired by. Now I get to teach other people how I did it. Now let me find a new group.
I love that, Garrett. And you know, the beautiful thing about what you said, if you're listening to me right now, is that we all have the free will to choose. So you chose, right? You chose to find that group. You chose to find a way. You chose to not stop at the thought of the billionaires are holding me back. On the contrary, I know you think the same way as I think. I applaud Bill. You're showing me the way. You're showing me it's possible.
Thank you for showing me my future. Thank you for
showing me the future. Exactly, right? And so it's like the system teaches people to be mad at Elon Musk. Like, I love Elon Musk, right? I love Elon Musk. He's changing the freaking world, right? And so my question to you is this: when you found yourself in these new communities, what are some basic thought process or belief systems or actions that you could share that you have found by studying these communities and you could share with our audience?
Honestly, the basic thing was find you your person. Find that one person,
okay,
not a million people. I found one person that was like, oh my God, that's how I want to talk. That's how I want to. And I started studying the person, how they talk, how they dress, how they walk, what books they were reading, whatever. And I was like, well, whatever I can do that will get me closer to the way in which I want to pattern my life, I was willing to do whatever it took.
That's right.
Yeah, I was willing to do whatever it took. And it's difficult for a lot of people, especially if you're trying to do it by yourself. And I want to explain to people, and I got to bring this back. The power of community has the ability to compress time frames in a way where somebody can, on their own, being a lone wolf, learn a lesson over a 10-year period of time. But if you're in a community of people and all you see is like a similar patterns, it's a form of language. So who do you think would learn the language faster? Someone who uses Rosetta Stone and goes to Starbucks once a week for 15 minutes a week trying to learn French, or someone who goes to the community of France and immerses themselves in the culture, eating the food? They'll learn the dialect. They'll learn how to speak it. They'll learn how to listen to it because they're immersed in the community. But if you tried to do that with Rosetta Stone, it would be difficult because you're not even absorbing the energy of it. You're just trying something. And, you know, the practical thing is understanding first the power of community, and then second, finding a person that's literally the flesh form of a book and study that person like it's no business, like it's nobody's business. Michael Jackson had James Brown and Fred Astaire. And you can see early on that he clearly studied Fred Astaire and clearly studied James Brown. All of his moves were like that. But they, in mirroring success, were like when a little kid is learning how to ride a bike and they have training wheels. They were like training wheels to his nervous system so that he can develop and say, you know what, I got it from here. And through that lens of mirroring success, he became the Michael Jackson that we knew of. Same thing happened to me. I studied John C. Maxwell. I studied Jim Rohn. I studied Napoleon Hill, Tony Robbins. And I was just like, man, but I like a little bit of that. And I like a little bit of that. And I like a little bit of that. And guess what? I have a lot of me because they don't have what I have, but they have what they have. And I like this. And I said, when I need to grit, I can understand because Eric Thomas does it for me when I'm speaking to a certain, whenever I need to really think on a level that I'm really, you're like, yo, did you just talk to 7 different aspects of a person in a 10-minute conversation and you hit the PowerPoint people, you hit the audio people, you hit the visual people? I studied that. I got that from Jim Rohn and he is the master at that. And so I said, those are my people. Those are my people. And then ever so often, I was like, you know what? I really like that. I was like, let me try that on. So I am the epitome of all of my teachers. I have so many mentors that don't even know I exist because certain people do certain things a certain way often. And I can't wait to meet them and be like, yo, you supported me in changing my life. How is that? But I've been studying you for 13 years and I don't even have to ask you a question for you to tell me what you're doing on a daily basis. But I study people all the time and I implement like it's nobody's business.
I love it. I love it, Garen. And so here's a question for you. Let's take it back to the minority thing, right? Because I stopped buying that BS a long time ago. I saw it. This was even before my spiritual journey began. I saw it for what it was. It was like a part of the journey, a part of the system that you grow into. And it's either you're going to adopt it and go, yeah, I am a minority. And yeah, you know, the cards are stacked against me. And yeah, you know, the world isn't fair and you know, and all this stuff. Or you can go, no, I'm not participating in this story.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not participating in this. And so my question to you is this, man, is, you know, when we talk about community and we talk about energy, because I know you're a very spiritual being as I am, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves and understand that there is consciousness, there is individual consciousness, and then there is community or group consciousness, right? So for someone who is in, let's say, you know, maybe looks like you and I, and is in a dense energy, like an inner city, like, you know, you're in the Bronx, or you're in Compton, or you're living in the ghetto, like I lived and maybe like you lived, right? What are the steps that those people take if they're listening right now?
One, I actually used to live in Inglewood, California, and there was like freaking drug raids right outside of my apartment. And
me too.
I remember saying, I need to get out of here. I remember saying.
Garen, that's where it starts right there. That's where it begins. It begins with that desire.
I said, I need to get out of here. And even where I grew up, Missouri City, Texas, it wasn't the hood. But let me tell you something. It wasn't nothing really going on. And it's something inside was like, I feel like I'm not supposed to be here. And every time I would say that to somebody, they were like, well, what about your family? And you have a girlfriend here. And da, 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 da. And I had been saying that since I was 8 years old. And every single time I would allow people to tell me something different. So I would disagree with something that I felt deep down inside was my truth. So finally, one day I was like, yo, I'm not supposed to be here. I feel like I'm supposed to be somewhere else. People are like, but you got a girlfriend, you got a family. You know what I said? They'll be here when I came back, when I come back. And guess what? I left in 1998 and they are still there. And this is not to make anybody wrong or anything. There's an awareness. A bird will never know how far it can fly until it leaves the nest of the comfort, the nest of your comfort zone. When I left for California, and I had the hardest time I've ever had in my life. It struggled. I slept from couch to couch to girl's house to couch. I lived in my car for 2.5 years. And I told myself, if I ever go back home, you know that I have failed at life. So I was willing to stay and put myself through it. I didn't know what my life was going to turn into. I was $200,000 in debt in 2011. I tried to commit suicide twice. I went from the highs and lows of life. My daughter pretty much disowned me because I couldn't get my life together. My girlfriend, she broke up with me because I couldn't get my life together. My mom was dying in the hospital, and all of it was happening at the same time. November 2011, 3:43 in the morning, and that's when I had my moment of awakening. And I said, okay, I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I want to be surrounded by nothing but positive people. I just want to inspire people. And I want to make a bunch of money. Listen to my words. I want to make a bunch of money, but I want the money to represent something that I passionately believe in, that I would do for free. Just show me a sign. And a week later, I'm at the gas station and a homeless guy asked me for money. I said, you have more money than me. And he said, change your mindset, change your life.
Wow.
So if any of you know, that's the name of my company. That's the name of my best-selling book where I've had no PR. I put no money behind it. And we've already sold almost 100,000 copies independently. So all of that, a homeless guy shared that with me. I had a conscious interrupt. And just like that movie Sixth Sense, where he didn't even know he was dead the whole movie, I didn't even know I lied to myself my whole life until that moment. I said, change your mind. So my mind is set on something, then that's why the result is what it is. So if I do different with the same circumstance, my life will change. It's been 11 years and I've trained myself in moments of opposition where I was like, well, I don't feel like this. Well, this is rubbing me the wrong way. And I say, you know what? Take a deep breath, change your mindset, change your life. And I do the opposite. And every single time, 100 out of 100, the most miraculous things happen. So my life is a direct flip from when I was heading on a bullet going straight down. Now it's a heading on a bullet going straight up and out and expanded, because now I understand to take my story and give it to the masses.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, being that I'm Hispanic, what I call it, if you come to awaken, you know, if you've been to Awakening, you know what I call it, flip the tortilla. Just flip it to the other side. So whatever you're thinking and whatever you're used to being negative about, like there's an equal, opposite, powerful, abundant thought. Just flip the tortilla. Just flip it over, you know? And that's what you did, essentially, which is awesome.
I flipped the tortilla. That's what I love that.
That's right.
It's easy and relatable. But there was a moment, and I want to close this and bookend this. There was a moment where I was crying and screaming and cursing when I was in that car. And I blamed my skin color, my nationality, the news, the weather, the president. And I blamed all this. It's my dad. My father was murdered when I was 12 years old. I blamed my mom. I blamed my dad, my brother, my girlfriend, my daughter. And then I was like, wait a second. I literally stopped myself ugly crying and said, I've blamed everybody but myself. And I said, I can't change any of those people. I was like, but what can I change about myself? And I started asking myself a different question instead of saying, what's wrong with me? I started to like, man, what's right with me? And I said, what can I do different? And it was in that moment right there that it was, and yes, I have experienced racism, and I've got so many stories, and I bought into all of it, not to deny that it didn't happen, but I tell you this, no one has ever stopped me from pursuing my dreams. The only person that did was me. No one ever stopped me from writing the book. No one ever stopped me from asking the girl out, creating the patent, the investing. No one ever stopped me. That was all me. So what I was trying to pin all of the blame on Once I took personal responsibility, that's why I wear this tattoo. It says 100/0. You take 100% responsibility for everything that you do with zero excuses for why you can't be or do your absolute best on every occasion with everyone you come in contact with. Once I embodied that principle, it's interesting how that's when Impact Theory happened and the Forbes happened and E! News happened. I haven't had paid ads. I haven't had management. I haven't had PR. But how am I on these platforms? Because I unshakably believe in myself and what I'm here to do, so much so that people, it becomes a magnetic energy. And I truly do believe that everybody has that portal living inside of them. Most won't tap into it. And that's why you and I are here, to awaken them to who they really are deep down on the inside.
That's right. That's right. Because Garen, no one is different than you and I. We're all the same.
And you can be fooled by the surface level. You can be fooled. Okay. There's black, there's white, there's this, there's that. Okay. Let somebody slaughter a deer right in front of you. I bet you in front of 100 people. Out of 100 people, 99 people will feel it in a certain way. You're like, how do you feel? Oh my, because there's a similar makeup inside.
Yeah. There's an energy within all of us. And that's what I'm, you know, I love having this conversation with you, man, because that's what I'm so passionate about. You know, let's shift a little bit. When I first sat with plant medicine, you know, when I first sat with plant medicine, it was one of those things where it was like, whoa, every human on earth needs to do this, you know, because it's not my belief, it's my knowing. My knowing is that, you know, the medicine is here for us to help us discover ourselves. And some will have the courage to discover themselves and some will not on this journey, unfortunately. Hopefully the next time they come, they will. But Garen, like to me, I mean, I'll tell you straight out, like, you know, that's how Jesus healed everybody. That's how he did his miracles, was he used the medicine, you know? And I want to ask you this question. How has the medicine helped you?
There are places that I have gone in my life that are deeper than a lot of people that I've been around. And by me allowing myself to be a channel for infinite wisdom to come through, I've been medicine. Well, my shell has been a medicine. My conduit has been a medicine for lots of people, to the point where they're like, oh my God, I felt like I went through a medicine journey. And I was like, you got to understand, it's like I can take people to the depths that I've gone in myself, but I've done it so many times that I can take you on a journey safely inside of your nervous system and then walk you back through systems and structures and tools. But then when it comes to different modalities, like I've done the 10-day silent retreat, I've done the spiritual psychology and all for years, years and years and years. The medicine becomes another modality. For me, it was, instead of 3 days of releasing and all this other stuff, it was 20 minutes providing. See, there's a responsibility in this. I was around safe people that I trusted. The area, the place that I was in was a place of high frequency and not low resonation. And I had a very powerful intention. All of those ingredients going at the same time, it would walk me right into the very thing that I've probably been avoiding for 20, 30 years and not knowing it. And I was like, wow. This modality supports me in being efficient with my blocks, and I'm an implementer. As soon as I learn something, I'm almost producing a result before I even realize what the thing is, because I'm just so used to creating results. So even while in the medicine space, all of a sudden, my body is conditioned to, I know exactly what to do with this. Oh my goodness. I had issue with my dad and my brother, and every man in my life became a figment of my dad and my brother, which I hated when I was a little kid. Now, wonder I had horrible relationships with men, and 95% of my audience was all women, until I moved to Austin and I was confronted in every aspect by every man who kept inviting me to things. And then I leaned in and I was like, oh my God. The universe is showing me a different aspect of a man that is teaching me how to accept that part of a man in myself. And as I started doing that, I started living from a place of embodiment. So that's what it supported me with, even deeper levels that I hadn't been willing to look at or justify or overcompensate in other areas to not look at certain areas that were actually really important to me. So having that and being clear on your intentions around safe people, safe environment, high frequency environment, man, it's a really powerful gateway that I feel could support millions of people, providing they have those tools.
You know, Garen, I would agree. And I want to give a disclaimer to everybody out there. And I feel it's my responsibility to do this, like from now on when I mention the medicine. I've always been really, really good at sensing bad energy or good energy, bad intentions or good intentions. You know, I just have a knack for it. And so as such, when I talk about the medicine, I'm like, yeah, go do the medicine. Yet the reality is that, and I think part of that is that I see the world from the positive, not the negative, you know, naturally. And yet the reality is, man, you know, if you're out there and you're considering taking the medicine, you gotta make sure that you are with the right shaman, that you're with the right group, that you're in a safe space. And I only bring that up because there are, you know, there are not so good people, you know, and sometimes they don't even know it. It's their energy. And that energy, when you're in ceremony, it shows up and it impacts your own ceremony. So that's my little disclaimer there. Gosh, I wish I could tell you guys where to go. I don't know. I would just say, just open your heart to, if you're interested in this, open your heart to being guided and led. And when the timing is right, it will all take place. Yeah. So, Garen, final thoughts. You have a listener right now. They want to change their life. They say, you know, man, all right, I've been listening to this Danny guy for a while. And now this Garen guy is basically telling me the same exact thing. I guess it is me. I guess it is on me. Like, how do I change? What do I do?
I would first ask, why do you want to change? You know, that's important to know why, because other, you know, somebody's like, oh, I want to change because other people change. You got to find a reason that's compelling for you. Like, I really wanted to change because I no longer wanted to live death inside of a flesh suit. I wanted to live a joyful life. I got tired of watching my mom slave away at a 9-to-5 job that paid her less than her value, to call another man or a woman a boss, and just watching the life drain away from her. I wanted to put my daughter through, you know, a really nice college. There's things that I really wanted. And I heard John C. Maxwell say, successful people are willing to do the things that unsuccessful people won't do. And I said, that's enough reason to change, because how you do anything is how you do everything. So there are people out there, you're out there right now listening to this, and there's something in your life that you're attached to, the guy, the girl, the money, the alcohol, the drugs, and you know deep down inside that it's wrecking your life. Studied to be a samurai for 4 years. And then every time I would ask my master, I'd ask him a question. He'd say, take a deep breath. And he'd say, you know what to do. And he would never answer my question. And I'm like, you are so right. I know exactly what to do. And that would be the thing every time. You know, if I was eating fatty foods all the time, I literally knew what to do. So I'm going to share with you what he taught me. Deep down inside, take a deep breath. Deep down inside, you know what to do. If you lean into it and become an excellent student, start noticing and get really curious and work on developing skill, not just being talented, it will create a spiritual body that is too big for the place where you might feel stuck. And just like a baby inside of the womb is too big for the womb, what once grew on the inside is then produced in the next realm called birth. You can literally die to your old self and you can rebirth into the next evolved evolution version of you by growing you, your skill set, your mindset, your soul set, your heart set, and growing it past your comfort zone. There will be no space for the space that you're actually stuck in. And the universe becomes plastic according to the thoughts and ideas that you give the most power to. Let those ideas be where you want to go in life and why you want to go in life. And the how will always show up at your doorstep. You know what to do.
That's exactly true. way to end this, my friend. How do people get a hold of you?
You can definitely go to my website, GarenJones.com, and Instagram, @Garen.Jones. My book, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life, is on Amazon right now in Spanish and in English. We're in the process of creating the audiobook. And you look, there's really some cool courses and stuff on my website. So just check it out. Get unstuck, relationships, all those things. So this is where you can check me out. And I'm here to serve and support. Let's grow together.
I love it, man. Thanks for being here. And I will see you this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's go.
All right, everybody. That's a wrap for this week's episode of The Higher Self. Listen, if you're listening and you heard this episode, there's someone you know, more, it's probably two or three people you know that would benefit from watching the show. Share it with them. By the simple act of you sharing a powerful message like this one, you could be impacting and changing someone's life. And when you do, you impact and change your own. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. A friendly reminder that as you hear and listen to these incredible stories of transformation in our podcasts, what's drawing you and what's connecting to your heart and making you feel what you feel when you hear them is your future self. Because what you're actually listening to is your story. It's your story of transformation. After all, we're all one. So anything that someone else experiences resonates with you because you probably have experienced it as well. A breakthrough that someone else experiences is probably resonating with you because it's the breakthrough that you're ready to have yourself. All you need is a little bit of guidance and a little bit of courage to accept the guidance. And so we want to invite you to visit our website on morelglobal.com and click on the button that says help me with, and you'll see how we can help you in either your business development or your personal development.